in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation.
And strength, our very present help in trouble. God is our refuge and help. Is our refuge and strength, a very present help. I want you to lift up your hand, say, Holy Spirit, I recognize you as my helper. I receive divine help. Go ahead and talk to him. Go ahead and talk to him. Mando sofra hatila kofa palatiza prende ke posha eliko burande ke fretos ke tila kabaragadia mande ke pose freketia. We receive well-timed help, well-timed divine help, well-timed divine help from the helper himself, Spirit of the Living God. You are our helper, you are our strengthener, you are our comforter, you are our advocate, you are our intercessor, you are our counselor, you are our standby. We recognize your person and we receive of your ministry. Liboro sepeletoni ikabora kida shala prande ke preketoska. Mando boko sapalakidas, mande rusa palatiza, elepura sapalakida kabura kapata, prekete kete ke prekete. In the name of Jesus,
he says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Next verse. So is your way out of every trouble. He said, therefore will not we fear. Therefore will not we fear. Fear is the bait of Satan. He said, therefore will, even in trouble, we will not fear. He said, though the earth be removed. As this even happened, as your condition, your situation got to this point that the earth is removed. He said, even if the earth is removed, we will still not fear. Why? Because God is our refuge and strength, our very present help in trouble. He said, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Aliko bakataya. Next verse. Manle toza. He said, though the waters thereof roar, waters of difficulty, waters of challenges and trouble, even though they are roaring, mande kebo sata. He said, we will still not fear. They roar, they are troubled, though the mountains shake with the swellings thereof, Selah. Next verse. He says, there is a river. Hallelujah. He said, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. He's talking of Zion. The holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. He's talking of the river of the Spirit. He's talking of the river of the Spirit. He's talking of the streams of the Spirit. It produces gladness. Hallelujah. Next verse. He says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. The consciousness of the presence of God in you and with you, it makes you unmovable. Doesn't matter what is happening on the outside. He said, because of the presence of God with her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her and that right early. I want you to lift up your voice. Look at those challenges facing you. Look at those mountains confronting you right now. And with this understanding, he said, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. We are unmovable. We are unmovable. We are unstoppable. Unmovable. Because we are conscious of the presence of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Spirit, helping us, strengthening us, giving us the counsel we need, comforting us. Mandekebo shata, la prakidas, eliko barakatai. Go ahead, lifeke tolika barakatai. We receive well-timed help. We receive help, early help. Not late. God is never late. He is right on time. He said, God shall help her. And that right early. Maleboko Zabaladia. Shabalaga Barondo Braskapatia. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Likopo Sebila Kapatia. Rondo Bosefila Kabarande Gebrekete. Liko pakasidi bora sapatani engo pota baraka pata manda bora sabaladia. We receive divine help from above. We receive well-timed help. Ila bora sabaladia lekom brosketila bora kapatai ila bakonde sefeleteni. Kabarande gebu shalabatai. Imbrakata kapalaga dogo prakatai. In the name of Jesus, Spirit of the Living God, we honor and reverence your presence. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Our eyes, our heart, our ears are opened to receive all that you have for us. Make us of quick understanding. Release upon us the grace not just to be hearers but the doers of your word. Do for us, in us and with us, what only you can do. Do the impossible. Let every mountain be leveled to become a plain. Let every mountain be made low. Let every valley be filled. Thank you, Spirit of the Living God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Clap your hands, O ye people. Come on, come on, come on. Shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Come on, shout in celebration. Hallelujah. You might be seated. You know, on Saturday sunset, we were here for Throne of Grace encounter, and I told you that Rosh Hashanah, which is the Jewish New Year celebration, began Friday evening. Praise God. Rosh Hashanah is a 2-day celebration to commemorate and mark the beginning of the Jewish or Hebrew New Year. You know, while the rest of the world, using the Gregorian calendar, are still waiting to enter New Year, January 1st, 2024. According to the Jewish calendar, the Hebrew calendar, we have entered a New Year. We entered on Friday evening. It's the Hebrew New Year 5784. And I was sharing prophetically that it's a year of open doors. According to prophetic numbering, the number 4, the Hebrew alphabet, the 4th alphabet in the Hebrew letters, which is Dalet, You know, the Hebrew letters have a numerical value, numerical equivalent, and they have a symbolic representation in pictograph. And we even saw it. It looks like a door, right? So we say it's a season of multiple open doors. I want you to prophesy upon your life, prophesy to yourself. Say, this is my season of multiple open doors. Doors are opening for me supernaturally. By the power of the Holy Ghost, financial doors are opened unto me. Doors of breakthroughs are open unto me. Are you listening? Business and career doors are opened unto you in this season. Academic doors are open unto you in this season. Doors for family are open unto families. Doors of influence, doors of anointing, authority, doors of promotion, they are open unto you. Doors of miracle job, employment, doors of admission, they are open unto you in this season. It's a season of multiple open doors. And I love this. Doors of supernatural favor are open unto you. I said doors of supernatural favor are open unto you. In the name of Jesus. Doors of breakthroughs, mighty breakthroughs. It's a season of multiple open doors. And it's not happening by human power. It's not by human might. Zechariah 4 verse 6, he says what? By my spirit. How will those doors open? Come on, tell me. By the spirit of God. By the power of the Holy Ghost. By the power of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in Acts chapter 16, 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas, they were imprisoned unjustly because they were preaching the gospel, and then Paul casted out that spirit of divination from that Philippian slave girl that was possessed with the spirit of divination. She was practicing soothsaying. And when the master saw that his business was over, his hope of making money is gone, he incited the crowd and made them to arrest Paul and Silas, put them in Philippian jail. But I love what they did. The Bible says at midnight. They didn't complain. They didn't murmur. They didn't say, oh God, why me? You understand? No. God, why did you allow such thing to happen? Mm-mm. The Bible says at midnight they prayed and they sang. They prayed until they prevailed in the spirit, got the note of victory, and then to prove that they have prevailed, they started singing in victory. Are you getting songs of victory started flowing? And what happened? The Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. The presence of God descended. They made so much tremendous power available. The presence and the power of the Spirit descended in that prison. And the presence of God manifested in the prison in form of earthquake. The Bible said suddenly there was an earthquake. And immediately all doors were open. Kali Dobakata. How were all those doors opened? By the presence and power of the Spirit. It happened by the Spirit. Somebody here, doors are opening for you, and you are stepping into them by the power of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says all doors were open and everyone's band were loosed. In other words, you cannot be chained. You can't be incarcerated. You can't be in prisons. No. Not when the presence and the power of God shows up. All you need to do is to get the Holy Ghost to show up in the place. I'm telling you, it will bring you out of every captivity. It will bring you out of every prison. Am I communicating? It will shatter every chain. It will bring you out of bondage. Shatter all those curses and spell. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is a limitation breaker. Is a limit breaker. Are you a victim of limitation? The Holy Spirit is the answer. He's a limit breaker. He's the answer to every weakness. The Bible says his strength is made perfect in your weakness. No wonder Apostle Paul said, when I feel weak, then am I strong. Why? Because Jehovah is the strength of my life. Can you shout amen? the presence and power of the Spirit. The Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I prophesy to anyone that is in bondage, that is enslaved, that is in captivity. I don't know what has bound you. It may be sickness. It may be a sinful habit. It may be an addiction. It may be spell, curses, whatever. Every limitation, every barrier, every captivity, every bondage, I command it to be broken. By the power of the Holy Ghost, I proclaim liberty for you. In the name of Jesus, I proclaim liberty, freedom. In the name of Jesus. He said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You can't be bound in His presence. You can't be bound. You can't be a victim. You can't be imprisoned. His presence will shatter all the prison. Hallelujah. By my Spirit. Not by human might. This is how we do impossible things. In Luke chapter 1 verse 34, after Angel Gabriel was sent from the presence of God to announce good news to Mary the Virgin, who was engaged to Joseph, and they've not had sex, and then he announced to her that, behold, Virgin Mary, you will be with child, you will conceive and give birth to a baby called Jesus. He shall save the people from their sin. And he shall be called the Son of the Highest and all of that. Then look at what Mary asks. He said, how shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man? In other words, that note there is not, it's not head knowledge. It's talking of sexual intercourse. Are you getting me? The kind of knowledge that comes through intercourse. He said, how is this possible that I will be pregnant and give birth, I will conceive without sex with a man? He said, how shall these things be? Never in the history of humanity has such a thing ever happened. It is humanly impossible. It is scientifically impossible. It's medically impossible. Am I communicating? That a woman will conceive without the aid of a man's sperm? But look at the answer. Next verse. He said, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. Aye. This is the answer to every impossible situation. No matter how difficult the situation is. He said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of the Highest. See, the Holy Ghost is the expert when it comes to dealing with impossibilities. He is the expert doer of the impossible. Am I communicating? The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. Look at the formula for spiritual supernatural insemination. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. Holy Ghost assisted reproductive technique. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. And the impossible shall be made possible. I'm paraphrasing in my own words. Are you getting me? I don't know what impossible situation you are facing right now. What looks humanly impossible, the difficulty, the challenge, the mountain before you. But listen, the supply of the Spirit is the answer. Did you hear what I said? The supply of the Spirit is the answer. The Holy Ghost shall come upon you. The power of the Highest shall overshadow you. And the impossible will be made cheaply possible. You can do the impossible cheaply by the power of the Spirit. By the enablement of the Spirit. Stop. Last week I said stop trusting too much in your human ability. That's the reason why many are grounded. Are you getting me? The arm of flesh will fail you. First Samuel 2 verse 9, he said, by strength shall no man prevail. In this kingdom, we don't prevail by our natural human strength. We prevail how? By the power of the Spirit. By the power of the Spirit. We prevail over all challenges, all problems, all devils. We prevail by the power of the Spirit. Look at what Jacob did. He said, for as a prince, hast thou power with God and power with men, and hast prevailed. And hast prevailed. Glory to God. I say glory to God. He said, by strength shall no man prevail. Are you trusting in human strength? Are you still putting your confidence in the arm of flesh? You will fail in life. You will fail. Because human strength is limited. It's limited. But when you trust in the arm of Jehovah. Hey, he said, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Put your faith in the power of God. God doesn't want your faith to stand in the wisdom of men. Give me 1 Corinthians 2 verse 4. 1 Corinthians 2, 4 and 5. We'll read that. It says, and my speech, Apostle Paul said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, verse 5. He said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. God doesn't want our faith to stand in the wisdom of men. Are you listening? Because the wisdom of men is limited. He doesn't want your faith to stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Can you shout amen? Amen. Say with me, my faith is standing squarely upon the power of God, not wisdom of men, not in human strength or ability, not even your connection. Are you listening? The arm of flesh will fail you. Give me Isaiah 31 verse 1. No wonder. It says, woe unto them that go down to Egypt for help. Egypt is a type of the world system. You see, God is listen. God does not want us to rely or depend upon the world system, this Babylonian system. Mm-mm. Whether it is in your finances, your business, your career, your job, God doesn't want your faith, your trust or confidence to be in the wisdom of men or in the systems of this world. Egypt is a type of the world system. It's a woe to them. There is even a curse that has already been placed upon those that are depending on the world system for help in any area of life. Are you getting me? It's a woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many. You see that? Because they are many. It says, and in horsemen because they are very strong. You see? They are trusting in number and in the strength of Egypt. He said, but look at their crime. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel. You see their problem? This is where they missed it. Instead of them to look up to God, to put their faith, trust in God, they are putting it in the world system, in the world economy. Neither seek the Lord. They fail to seek the Lord. Verse 2. Jump to verse 3 because of time. He said, now, look at the judgment. He says, now, the Egyptians are men and not God. Did you see that? The best of man is still a man. He says, the Egyptians are men and not God. Their horses are flesh and not spirit. You see that? He said, when the Lord stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is hopeful shall fall down, and they shall fail altogether. When you put your faith and trust and confidence in the world system, in the wisdom of men, in Egypt, failure is inevitable. The end point is failure. Remember, we saw in Revelation that Babylon has fallen. Babylon has fallen. Are you getting me? This world system is programmed for failure. Is there? You see, in the Bible, you will see the history of the world and humanity. You will see the history. You will see the present happening. You will see the past, present, and future. The future of the world. The future of everything that is happening is in the Bible. And we saw that Babylon fell. So, why are you foolish? You are not putting your trust and confidence in a system that is failure prone. Are you getting me? Glory to God. Say with me, my faith, my confidence, my trust is in God alone. Give me Jeremiah 17 verse 5. Jeremiah 17 verse 5. So we rely on the power of the Spirit. We do things by the wisdom and power of the Spirit. He said, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusted in man. Cursed be the man that trusted in man. You see the problem? God uses men to bless you. God uses men to help you. God can use anybody to help, favor, support you, but God doesn't want your faith to be in men. He doesn't want your trust, your confidence to be in men. Your faith and trust should be in God and His word alone. Are you getting the point? God uses destiny helper, but don't make the mistake of putting your faith and trust and confidence in your destiny helpers. No, they are not your source. Are you getting my point? This is very important. He says, cursed be the man that trusted in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departed from the Lord. You see that? Trusting in men will make your heart to depart from God. When your heart is supposed to be clinching to God, trusting in God, but because you are now trusting in men, it says it will make your heart to depart from God. Next verse. He said, for he shall be like the head in the desert. Look at the picture of the cursed man that is trusting in man. He said, he shall not see. He shall not see when good cometh. In other words, trusting in men will blind you to opportunities. It will blind you to good things. He said, he shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness. Can you see? In a salt land and not inhabited. Next verse. Blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord. You see? Listen. The economy of this world is not your source. Federal government of Nigeria is not your source. Your salary is not your source. The place you are working is not your source. God is your one and only source. Are you getting me? No man is your source. Wives, your husbands are not your source. God is your source. They are channels. Men are channels. Government job, channel. Your business, channel. Are you getting me? Stop confusing channel for your source. Channels can fail. Channels can dry up. But God, your source, cannot fail. Are you getting me? Your faith and trust and confidence should be in God, your one and only source, not in your channels. Stop trusting in your channels for your supplies when you should be trusting in God. Are you getting this? It's very important. The journey to supernatural prosperity begins with acknowledging and making God your one and only source for everything you ever need. See God as your one and only source. See men, job, business, etc., government, see them as channels. Are you getting my point? And when one channel closes, God can open 7 other channels for you. So nothing spoil. As long as your channel, your source has not dried up. As long as your source has not dried up. No problem. Are you getting my point? God is your source for ceaseless supernatural supplies. Unending supplies. He cannot fail. He's your failure-proof source. Are you getting my point? He said, but blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Next verse. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreaded out our roots by the river, shall not see when heat cometh. You see that? The other one says, the other person trusting in man shall not see when good cometh. But the one trusting in God, he says, shall not see when heat cometh. In other words, not even economic heat. You can't see it. I say you cannot see it. No matter the exchange rate, it doesn't affect you. It doesn't affect your supplies. Are you getting me? Economic recession, inflation, this one, that one. He said he shall not see when heat cometh. Financial heat, he cannot see. Why? Because his trust is in God. And that spreaded out our roots by the river. And shall not see when it cometh, but our leaf shall be green. Can you shout amen? Green is a picture of fruitfulness. Green is a picture of productivity. Green is a picture of prosperity. It says evergreen. You are evergreen. It says, and shall not be careful in the year of drought. In other words, you are not worried. You are not concerned during famine. Can you shout amen? These are the benefits when your trust is in God. Are you getting my point? He said, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Isaiah 32 verse 15. He said, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness shall become a what? A fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be counted for a forest. In other words, the outpouring of the Spirit, the supply of the Spirit, is the key to supernatural fruitfulness. Can you shout amen? The supply of the Spirit will make you financially fruitful. It will make your business to blossom, your business to be fruitful. It will cause your career, your job to be fruitful. It will make your family to be fruitful. Can you shout amen? Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. That's the answer. The supply of the Spirit is God's answer for barrenness. The supply of the Spirit is God's final answer that will terminate dryness, that will terminate famine. Can you shout amen? It puts an end to every form of barrenness, dryness, emptiness. In Genesis 1 verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, verse 2, and now the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. You see, the Spirit of God is the cure and answer, is God's divine solution to every form of voidness, every form of emptiness, every form of chaos, every form, are you getting me? Every chaotic situation in your life answers to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God has the answer. He is a divine solution to voidness, emptiness, chaos, and darkness. Every area of darkness in your life, the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. And verse 3, God gave a command, light be, and the Spirit caused light to leap into manifestation. Can you shout amen? He was the one that brought light into darkness. He was the one that terminated every form of emptiness and voidness, and brought order and beauty into this chaotic situation. He's the master of every chaos. The Holy Spirit will make your life beautiful. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, God, by His Spirit, He garnished the heavens. A translation said, He beautified the heavens by His Spirit. The book of Job. He said, by His Spirit, He beautified, He garnished, decorated the heavens. If the Spirit of God can so beautify the heaven and look at the picture of heaven in the Bible, book of Revelation, and other scripture, imagine how beautiful. What an excellent place. The Holy Ghost will make your life beautiful. He will make your life to be excellent. In fact, He is the Spirit of excellence. Can you shout amen? He will decorate your life with good things. Say with me, the Holy Spirit, His presence in my life makes me beautiful. Let me tell you about the Holy Spirit. Makes you beautiful. Makes you handsome. If it's a guy, say handsome. If it's a lady, say beautiful. Hallelujah. Is it, the Holy Spirit is a third member of the Godhead. The Godhead talks of the Trinity. The Godhead talks of the Trinity. God the Father, the Son, Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit. He's the third member of the Godhead, but He was the first member of the Godhead to be revealed to us in scriptures. Look at it in Genesis 1 verse 2. I've taught you before. In Genesis 1:1, he said, in the beginning, Elohim, God, the God there is talking of the Godhead. It's plural for God. So we don't know which of them. He's talking of the three of them. In the beginning, God created. Then in verse 2, we were told the first member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. It was revealed in verse 2. Verse 1, Elohim is talking of the Trinity. Verse 2, the first member of the Godhead or Trinity to be revealed is the Holy Spirit. And funny enough, though the Holy Spirit is the first member of the Godhead to be revealed to us in the Bible, He is the least understood member of the Godhead till date among Christians. Not just among the people of the world, even among believers. There is so much ignorance about the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, though He was the first to be revealed to us in scriptures among the Godhead. Are you listening? Kenneth E. Hagin, mighty man of God, he said, even though the Holy Spirit will wear cap and be walking down the road, he said, many pastors will not recognize Him. Not just believers. Many believers will not recognize Him. Even pastors. Many pastors don't know the Holy Spirit. He's serious. A lot of believers don't know Him. They don't recognize Him. They just live their life as though he's not there. Meanwhile, He has been given to us to help us. Many Christians, because they don't recognize His person, they don't understand His person, they don't recognize His ministry, so they can't maximize His ministry. They can't take full advantage of the ministry of the Spirit. Are you listening? This is why we teach, to cure thy ignorance. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit is a real person. The Holy Spirit is a spiritual personality. He's very real. Though your physical eyes cannot see Him because He's a spirit. You can't see spirit with your optical eyes. Am I communicating? But He's very real, though unseen, but very real, though invisible, but very real. He's a spiritual personality with a mind of His own. The Holy Spirit has a mind of His own. Who has known the mind of the Lord? The Lord there is the Holy Spirit. He says, He that searches the heart. Romans 8, I think 26, 27. He said, He that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a mind of His own. So He's an intelligent spirit. The Holy Ghost is the most intelligent being. He's the most intelligent being you can ever think of. He has a mind of His own. He thinks. He reasons. He has imagination. Praise God. the Holy Spirit has a will of his own. So, he makes choices, he makes decisions. He has a will of his own. The Holy Spirit has emotions. He has emotions. He can be sad. He can be vexed. He can be happy. He can be joyful. Are you getting me? He has emotion. That's why I said he's a spiritual personality. He's a person. Am I communicating? He's not it. He's not something. He's a person. He's a somebody. He's not a force. He produces a force, but he's not a force. He's a person. Just like you are a person. Don't you have force? Is the force equal to you? No. The Holy Spirit, listen, there are some symbols that we use to represent him. Even in the Bible, there are some biblical symbols of the Holy Spirit. For instance, the Holy Spirit is symbolized in scriptures. He can even manifest his presence as those things. Fire, for instance, is a symbol and a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Wind. On the day of Pentecost, he came as a rushing mighty wind, right? These are symbols and manifestations of his presence. But the Holy Spirit is not fire. The Holy Spirit is not wind. He's a person. The Holy Spirit is not power. He is the source of power, but he's a person. Are you getting the point? He is not anointing, but he's the one that anoints men. He's a secret and source of the anointing, but he's a person. That's why it's called the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the custodian of the power of the Godhead. All of God's power is resident in the person of the Holy Spirit. Everything God does, he does by his word, through the power of his Spirit. Is the ability of the Godhead. Are you getting me? He's the one that brings to us the presence of God. He's a conveyor of the presence of God. He is the messenger of God's presence. See, listen. Papa God is on the throne. He does not leave the throne. Papa God, everything he does, anywhere he does by his Spirit. Are you getting me? He's the one that brings to us the presence of God. That transports the presence of God to us and transports us. Are you getting me? The Holy Spirit is real. He's a person. Thank God for the ministry of great people like Catherine Kuhlman. They have unveiled to us. Catherine Kuhlman got to understand that this is one of the greatest revelations that revolutionized her ministry, when she came to understand the person of the Holy Spirit, that is a real person. You can relate with him. You can talk to him. You can converse with him. See, I talk to the Holy Spirit more than I talk to any other person on this planet. He is the most important person in your life. Are you getting me? He will make you a success. Learn to talk. Prayer is not just talking to God. Prayer is talking with God. It's not a monotonous monologue. It's a dynamic dialogue. When you speak to him, expect him to talk back to you. He may talk back to you through his word. He may talk back to you sometimes immediately, sometimes not immediately, but later. But be conscious of his personal ministry. Expect the Holy Spirit speaks. He is not a thing, he's a person. Can a thing talk? He teaches. Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he shall teach you all things. Before you teach somebody, you have to speak now, have you? He spoke to Philip in Acts 8. He's a person, he's real. He spoke to Peter. Have you ever heard people say, especially women of God, God spoke to me? God spoke to me? You know, when I was young, I used to wonder, when I hear men of God say, God spoke to me. So this God can speak? Say, God, how come you have not spoke to me too now? don't mind my English. You know, I used to wonder how does his voice sound? How come he's speaking to people? He speak to me too now. I say, God, Abi, you know, trust me. Abi, me too, I know be your picking. Do you understand? But as I grew and got to know the Holy Spirit, I realized, he is the God that speaks to people. Because, listen. Jesus is in heaven. God the Father is in heaven. The God in us now, the God with us now, is the Holy Spirit. So he's the one that speaks to us. He's the one that leads us. He's the one that guides us. But how come many Christians don't know him? They are ignorant of his person and ministry. That's why we teach. Are you getting me? See, today's teaching is a very important one. This teaching today will revolutionize your life and Christianity. And let me advise you, listen to this message over and over and over again. Don't say, I was there when it was preached. Mm-mm. It's not enough. Are you getting me? It's not enough. Celebrate our police officer, ASP, the latest police officer, ASP, Dauda Azi. Come, sir. You know, can I have, you know, he honored me with this beautiful jotter. Can you see this? Isn't this beautiful? Eh? So we now have a come over, sir. We now have a police officer. I was telling somebody that if you do us anyhow, we'll go do you anyhow. We now have a police officer. Look at him. You understand? ASP, you know, was posted to Nasarawa, right? Thank God he's still with us before he resumes. When are you resuming? Of this month, 25th. So, praise God. Now, I was so inspired. Thank you, man. I was so inspired. Please get me another mic protocol. I was inspired by his testimony. How many of you were around on Sunday last week when he was testifying? Because some of you like to come late. You miss testimony time. You know, did you hear his testimony?
Yes, sir.
Did you hear his testimony? Now, listen, he said something that really touched me. I remember when he got admission into police academy, he even shared the testimony with us. Then we were still using College of Accountancy, you know. And then you could hear how he listened to one message. School of Faith 2017 that I preached. I don't even know where that message is. Media, you better look for that message. You know, somebody, after he testified, somebody said, Kai, he was even looking for the message to listen. I said, hey, now so. Now listen. That School of Faith 2017 fired him up, impacted him with enough faith. He said, anytime he faces challenges in the school, he will go back and what? Please give him mic. You know? Yes. Tell us the impact of that message. Don't worry, just face them.
That message has really impacted my life.
Like, yes, sir.
Anytime that challenges just come towards my life, like, I'll just go back to that message. Read them, as in listen to the message once again, and I think there is a kind of a fire inside that message that once I see that,
hallelujah.
I feel that burn in my spirit. That
hallelujah.
No matter the obstacles,
spirit of faith,
I'm able to cross over it.
Hallelujah. You see, it imparted him with the spirit of faith, and he was able to overcome all the difficulties until he graduated, and today is an officer. Can you celebrate Jesus? Like, let's say on the average, how many times did you listen to that message?
I cannot count, sir.
He said he cannot even count. Celebrate. God bless you, sir. Yes. Our latest police officer. So, those of you that I hear some people come to service to steal phone, we now have solution for your problem. Praise God. Now, listen. I will tell him not to show mercy. Praise God. Now listen, listen. He said he listened to that school of faith 2017 countless times. Me, myself, there are some messages I've listened more than 100 times, and I'm still listening to them. You see, do you know the problem with many of you? You just listen to a message casually, only once, and you wonder why your life is not changing. Sometimes you have to listen intentionally again and again and again until you squeeze all the juice from that message. Are you getting me? There are messages I listen to once. I know I've not gotten. I'll play it again. This time around, I'm listening to it in tongues. Sometimes you have to mix it with tongues. Are you getting me? God, there is something that you've not caught that is in that message that you are here to collect. Are you getting me? It's not just revelation you are receiving. It's not just information. They are tangible impartation. Are you getting me? So I will listen again and again and again and again until the thing enter. He said the Spirit entered into me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet. So beyond the information, beyond the revelation, there are impartations of grace, of power, of the anointing, of the ability and power to become what the message talks about. Are you getting the point? That's how to listen to messages. By my spirit, saith the Lord. The Holy Spirit is very real. We're talking about his personality. He speaks, he teaches, he reminds us of things. Have you been there that the Holy Spirit reminded you something? Have you been there? He reminds us. He instructs us. He gives us instructions. And if you always follow his instruction and obey it, you can't fail in this life. Listen, the shortest cut, if there is anything like shortcut to success, is to hear from God and do what you hear. As in, here, receive direction, instruction from the Holy Spirit, guidance, and then act on it in obedience. You can't fail that way. The Holy Spirit, I said, is not a force, though he is a producer of force. He's not power, he's not anointing, he's not even gift, but he's a source of those gifts. Those, you know, we talk about the gift of the Spirit, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirit, all of that. He is the source of the gifts, but he himself is a person. Are you getting me? The Holy Spirit is not dove. I know during Jesus' baptism, Bible says he descended like a dove, but he is not a dove. Are you getting me? Dove can represent him, can be a symbolic representation, but he is a person. He's not oil. He's not oil. He's not anointing oil. Are you getting me? But oil can be a symbol of the Spirit. Virgin Goya. You know Virgin Goya? Anointing oil remains a chemical product until there is impartation of the presence and power of the Spirit. That's what changes everything. It's a material medium that can convey and communicate the presence and power of the Spirit. And that's what happens when we pray on it, when we lay hands on it. But the anointing oil on its own is just like any other chemical product. Like oil that granite oil used to fry chicken. Praise God. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's real. You know, as I'm talking, do you know he's here with us? You know, he's the one giving me wisdom and inspiration and empowering me to minister. And at the same time, he's opening your understanding and giving you instructions. He's in me. He's in you. is in all of us, is in all believers in the whole world. Is it? Are you getting me? At the same time, is omnipresent, is omniscient, is omnipotent. The Holy Spirit is, though he is the third member of the Godhead, but he is co-equal with the Father and with Jesus. Because some people in their mind, they think because the Holy Spirit is the third member of the Godhead, therefore, they say he's the least powerful. In their mind, they say God the Father is the most powerful, followed by God the Son, Jesus. Then the least is wrong thinking. He is co-equal with the Father and with Jesus in power, in authority, in sovereignty. Are you getting me? Do you know even Jesus, baby Jesus, was called a child of the Holy Ghost? Give me Matthew 1 verse 18. How did Mary conceive baby Jesus? Was it not through the power of the Spirit? So, let me ask you a question. Who impregnated Mary? Oh yeah, now, was it Joseph? They were engaged then, and in the Jewish culture they marry as virgin, no sex until they are married. Yeah. Mary said, how shall these things be, seeing I know not a man? He said, the Holy Ghost will impregnate you. In summary, so who impregnated Mary? So who is Jesus' daddy, baby Jesus? Look at it, Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise, when as when Mother Mary was espoused or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, before they had sex, before they married and had sex, she was found with what? The child of the Holy Ghost. So Jesus could not have been born, humanly speaking, it was impossible, without the empowerment of the Spirit. Are you listening? The Holy Ghost shall come upon you. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. The Holy Spirit, I said, though he is the third member of the Godhead, but he is co-equal with God the Father, the Son, and God the Son, in sovereignty, in power, and in authority. The Holy Spirit is the God in us and the God with us in the now. We are living in the church age, and the church is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So we are living in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, living in the church. Are you getting me? Like I told you, Jesus is in heaven. God the Father is in heaven. The Holy Spirit is the God with us now on earth. Is a God in us. In us collectively as a church, the body of Christ, and in us individually as Christians. Are you getting me? And I said the Holy Spirit is the custodian of the Godhead, or is the custodian of all of the power of the Godhead. His presence in your life makes you the powerhouse of God. Can you shout amen? He is a power bringer. Acts 1 verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes, and ye shall be witnesses. So his presence in your life makes you the powerhouse of God. The Holy Spirit has, now listen, the Holy Spirit has no physical body of his own, because he's a spirit. He doesn't have physical body of his own. But when Jesus was on earth, he was living in Jesus' body. So Jesus' body was the body he was living in and manifesting his ministry through. Are you getting me? But the Holy Spirit now lives in the body of Christ. He now lives in us collectively as the body of Christ, and he lives in us individually as believers. No wonder the Bible says, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, and that the Spirit of God dwells where? In you. Say with me, my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit lives in me. The Holy Spirit answers to the name of Jesus. He does not have a name of his own, but he responds to the name of Jesus. He answers to the name of Jesus. His name is not Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is describing his characteristic. He is holy and he is a spirit. So what is his name? The Godhead answers to the same name, the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is the name of the whole Godhead. So where at the name of Jesus, God the Father springs to action, the Holy Ghost too responds to the name, answers to the name. That's the name of the Godhead. Are you getting this? When Jesus said, ask anything in my name, I will do it. How will he do it? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. So, at the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit springs into action and causes mighty miraculous manifestations and supernatural occurrences. Can you shout amen? Isaiah 11 verse 1. Isaiah 11 verse 1. Isaiah 11 verse 1. It says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. There shall come forth a rod or a branch out of the stem of Jesse. Mm-hmm. And a branch shall grow out of his root. Okay? The branch shall grow out of his root. Is that full stop? No. Next verse. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Verse 3. He said, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Verse 4. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth, and with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Can you shout amen? Now go back to that verse 1. We'll quickly look at the seven spirits of God, an expose on the seven spirits of God. Hallelujah. Now give me Revelation chapter 1 verse 4. Revelation chapter 1 verse 4. Revelation 1 verse 4. It says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits of God. How many? Seven. Now, when we say the seven spirits of God, what do we mean by the seven spirits of God? We'll look at it. And from the seven spirits of God, which are before his throne. Give me Revelation 4 verse 5. Revelation 4 verse 5, very fast. Revelation 4, 5. It says, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire. Seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are these seven lamps of fire burning before the throne of God, are what? The seven spirits of God. You see that expression again, the seven spirits of God. Revelation 5 verse 6. Revelation 5 verse 6. Revelation 5 6. Praise God. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamp. That lamp is Jesus. As he had been slain, having seven horns. The lamb had seven horns. Horn talks about power. Horns talk about authority, strength. And seven eyes. Eyes talks about visions, revelations. Am I communicating? So, the lamb that looks as if it has been slain was having seven horns and seven eyes. And he says, these seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. You see that expression for the third time. Seven spirits of what? God sent forth into all the earth. Can you shout amen? Zechariah 3 verse 9. Zechariah 3 verse 9. By looking at the seven spirits of God, an expose. An expose means an exposition, deep exposition, okay? An explosive expose on the seven spirits of God. It says, for behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, and Joshua is a type of Jesus, upon one stone shall be what? Upon one stone. How many stone? Upon what? One stone shall be seven eyes. Seven eyes. You see that seven eyes again? We saw seven horns, seven eyes, seven lamps, which are symbolic representation of the seven spirit of God. He said, behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. Glory to God. Zechariah 4:10. Zechariah 4:10. He said, for who has despised the day of small things, for they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. With those seven. With those how many? Seven. They are the eyes of the Lord. He's talking of the seven eyes. The eyes of the Lord, which represent the seven spirits of God, which run to and fro the whole earth. Can you shout amen? Now go back to Isaiah 11 verse 1 that we read earlier. It said, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. A branch shall grow out of his root. Now that branch there, prophetically speaking, is talking about Jesus. Isaiah was prophesying of Jesus the Messiah. You see it clearly, Revelation 22:16. We'll come back here. Give me Revelation 22:16. Revelation 22:16. It says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto these things in the churches. I am the root. Look at Jesus speaking. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Jesus called himself the root and what? Offspring of David. You know, in the physical, Jesus came from the Davidic lineage, right? The Davidic dynasty. That's why he's in the synoptic gospel, severally you see them calling him son of David. Okay? In the physical. But in the spiritual, David came out of the root of Jesus. Are you getting the point? That's why Jesus said, I am the root and offspring of David. Say, even David came out from my root. He sprang out of me. So, go back to Isaiah 11:1. You now get it. He said, and a branch shall grow out of his root. Who is that branch now? Talk to me. From what you just see, who is that branch that grew out of his root? Jesus. And it's the same thing when he said, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. In that prophecy of Zechariah. You know, Isaiah spoke of Jesus the Messiah as a branch that shall grow out of the root, right? Of David. David was a son of Jesse. Then Zechariah 3:9 says, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. And those seven eyes are the seven spirit of God. And we saw that Jesus is that one stone. Eh? Is that one stone? Should we look at it? 1 Peter 2:3. 1 Peter 2:3. Jesus is that. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Verse 4. It says, to whom coming as unto a living stone. A living stone. Jesus is that living stone. Okay. Disallowed indeed of men, but choosing of God and precious. Glory to God. And then if you read down, you will see that we too, because we are in Christ, we are also described as what? Lively stones. We say Christ has a head called Jesus. He has a body called the church, made up of all believers. Okay? And then he says our job is to offer spiritual sacrifice. Then verse 6, and then he now describes Jesus again as the chief cornerstone. He says, wherefore also it is contained in scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. So that cornerstone is Jesus. Glory to God. Now, let's look at the seven spirit of God. Go back to Isaiah 11. Now, what is the meaning of that expression, seven spirits of God? Does that mean there are seven holy spirits? You know, The first time I saw that expression, seven spirits of God, I thought that God had seven spirits, as in seven different Holy Spirits. Are you getting me? But that's not the meaning. The seven spirits of God does not mean there are seven different Holy Spirits. Mm-mm, that's not the meaning. That's not the meaning. We'll look at the meaning. Now, you need to understand that the number seven is a sacred Hebrew number. Seven. It has a prophetic significance. It's a sacred Hebrew number. Seven is a symbol of perfection. Seven is a symbol of fullness. Seven is a symbol of completion or completeness. Seven is a symbol of rest. It's also a symbol of abundance. So when we talk about the seven spirits of God, we are talking about the fullness of the Holy Spirit. The fullness, the completeness of the Spirit of God. Are you getting me? Glory to God. The seven Spirit of God. Give me Revelation 1 verse 4, Amplified Version. Revelation 1 4, Amplified. The seven Spirits of God refers to the fullness of the Spirit in manifestation. Does the fullness of the Holy Spirit in manifestation or operation? It refers to seven ways in which the Spirit of God manifests Himself and operates. It refers to the seven ways in which the Spirit of God manifests and operates. The seven Spirit of God does not mean seven different personalities, but seven separate and independent manifestation of the same Holy Spirit in the life of believers, which is indicative of the fullness of the Spirit. So I said the seven Spirit of God does not mean seven different personalities, but seven separate and independent manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, which is indicative of the fullness of the Spirit in operation. The seven Spirit of God refers to the sevenfold Holy Ghost operations. Look at it there. The sevenfold Holy Spirit. Okay? It's talking of the sevenfold operation of the Holy Spirit. Are you getting the point? The seven Spirit of God refers to seven independent manifestation of the Holy Spirit, seven different manifestation or operation of the one and the same Holy Spirit. So it's talking about the multidimensional workings of the Holy Spirit. The multidimensional workings of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's list them. What are these seven spirits of God? Isaiah 11 verse 1. Okay, let's look at them. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stems of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his root. Is that full stop? No, colon. Verse 2. It says, And the Spirit of the Lord, okay? Now, the first one to be mentioned there of the seven spirits of God is which one? The Spirit of the Lord, okay? The seven spirits of God. Let me write them down. Number one, the Spirit of the Lord. Okay? Now, the Spirit of the Lord refers to the Spirit of Lordship. The Spirit of the Lord also refers to the Spirit of Dominion. Is a spirit that comes upon people, both in the Old Testament and believers in the New Testament. It comes upon and it puts you in charge. He comes upon you, he empowers you to stand in your office to minister. He imparts the ministerial grace and anointing and enables you, empowers you to minister as the oracle of God in your office, depending on your calling. Are you getting the point? I can stand in my office and minister because of the operation of the Spirit of the Lord. He's the one that gives you boldness. He gives you the audacity, the effrontery. Are you getting me? To stand and declare the word of God. To minister in your office as the oracle of God. This is the dimension of the Holy Spirit that often come upon the prophets in the Old Testament. They can stand before kings and declare the counsel of God and declare the word of God without fear or favor. Because ordinarily, they should be afraid standing before kings. Ordinarily, going by your human nature, you should fear, right? But not when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon. It gives you boldness. This is the cure for timidity and fear. It's the Spirit of the Lord. It dispels fear. It dispels every form of intimidation and timidity. It makes you supernaturally bold. This is the dimension of the Spirit that came upon Moses. God told him, go and tell Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, let my people go. Moses could stand before Pharaoh. Do you know who Pharaoh was? Pharaoh is not like any other king in the Bible. Those days, the Egyptian, they see Pharaoh as a god in those days. In ancient Egypt, when they are counting the gods of Egypt, Pharaoh is one of them. It is believed Pharaoh is a physical incarnation of the god Horus. If you see Pharaoh's throne, his advisors don't stay on the same cabinet. They stay down like that. You dare not talk to Pharaoh. Who are you? One word like this, he will order for your head. They will go and kill you. But imagine Moses. He came, stood before Pharaoh. Day in, day out, thus saith Jehovah, let my people go. If you don't let them go, I will strike you with flies, plague of flies everywhere. He will come tomorrow again. Pharaoh will beg him, I beg, let them go now. So, okay. Thus saith the Lord, let them go. If you don't let them go, all your river will turn into blood. Plague after plague until the Egyptians lost all their firstborns. Yet, have you ever wondered how come Pharaoh could not utter this word, kill Moses? Somebody said the Spirit of the Lord. Something was on him. Is this dimension of the Spirit of the Lord? You can stand before Antichrist government and confront them. Are you getting me? And nobody can touch you. Nobody can dare you. Is the dimension of the Spirit of the Lord. That's what empowered and emboldened Moses to challenge Pharaoh and stand before him without fear, without intimidation. Remember, initially when God called Moses to go and tell Pharaoh, Moses did not want to go. He was afraid because he knew who Pharaoh was. Remember, Moses was cool and learning all the wisdom of Egypt. He was in Egypt before. He lived in the palace. He was raised as a foster child of Pharaoh's daughter, right? He was raised as a prince. Before he killed somebody and ran away. He knows who Pharaoh was. You dare not stand. Who born you? Pharaoh will kill you. That was why he ran away. But when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, everything called fear died. Everything called intimidation died. Keto barakataya. Brando kosa balatia. Are you getting me? It's the spirit of dominion. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, you walk in dominion. He empowers you to dominate. He puts you in charge because he is boss. You don't tell him what to do. He tells you what to do. He puts you in control. Are you getting me? The Spirit of the Lord. You know, I listened to a highly revered minister of the gospel, and he made a statement that is not exactly correct. He said there is nothing like spirit of dominion. No, there is. It's the spirit of the Lord. That's why it's good to study. Are you getting me? The Bible says study to show yourself approved, right? You know, there is such a thing as the spirit of dominion. It's the spirit of the Lord. It's the spirit of lordship. He rests upon. Now, give me Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. Look at this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I told you, it's the Spirit that comes upon. Empowerment for service. He empowers you for service. He emboldens you for service. Are you getting me? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. It was the one that came upon Prophet Isaiah here. Because the Lord has anointed me. He's the one that anoints you for your office, so that you can minister effectively as the oracle of God. Depending on your calling, He imparts that grace and anointing, the ministerial grace and anointing upon you. Are you getting me? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive. All these things are made possible because of the operation of the Spirit of the Lord. He's the one that gives power. Are you getting me? All those miraculous things Moses did, mighty signs and wonders, they are because of the operation of what? The Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you getting blessed? He gives you what we call unction to function. In Acts 1:8, it says, "And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon thee." That's the operation of the Spirit of the Lord. Luke 4:18, it was the Spirit of the Lord that came upon Jesus. When he stood, he took the scroll, he stood to read in the synagogue, and he saw the prophecy of Isaiah in Isaiah 61 verse 1, and Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me." You see, it was the one that empowered Jesus to function as the Messiah. Hallelujah. Ezekiel 2 verse 1. So the Spirit of the Lord gives boldness. He gives empowerment for service. He gives you the unction to function. He gives you audacity and effrontery. Hallelujah. It says, the Lord said to Ezekiel, "Son of man, stand upon thy feet. I will speak unto thee." Then verse 2. "And the Spirit," which Spirit? "The Spirit of the Lord entered into me when he spake unto me." Hallelujah. "And set me upon my feet, and I heard him that spake to me." Hallelujah. Have you been there that you came for prayer very weak? You didn't know you would be able to pray. And then in the process, suddenly the Spirit of the Lord entered you. That Spirit rested upon you. And then you saw yourself praying with so much vigor, intensity. And then you say, "Nami be this." It's the operation of the Spirit of the Lord. Are you listening? I can't count how many times we'll come for Festival of Fire that... But when we're about to close, I'll be feeling as if I just came. No tired as in. It's the operation of the Spirit of the Lord. He empowers you. Glory to God. He can also transport you. In Acts chapter 8 verse 39, Holy Ghost transportation that Philip experienced. When after he baptized the Ethiopian eunuch, the Bible says he was caught up. Glory to God. And then the next place they found him was at Azotus. Who transported him? It was the Spirit of the Lord. Glory to God. Bible said the Spirit of the Lord cut away Philip. So he made Philip to disappear. So one of the operations of the Spirit of the Lord is to cause you to what? Disappear. He can transport some people to US without visa. to UK without visa. He's a spirit of Japa. He will cause you to teleport and to Japa spiritually and even physically, without airport, without plane, without anything. Glory to God. Next, the spirit of wisdom. Isaiah 11 verse 2. He said, the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom. We've spoken extensively on this, right? In our last teaching series, Wellspring of Wisdom. Please, if you are not on our Telegram channel, download the Telegram, join, okay? Look for Wellspring of Wisdom part 1 to 3 and listen to it, okay? I won't say much here. The spirit of wisdom causes you to think the right thoughts, speak the right words, do the right things, make the right decisions and choices. The spirit of wisdom programs you to know and to walk in God's perfect will, plans and purposes for your life. Glory to God. Ephesians 1:17, Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. He says that God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Proverbs 1:23, the spirit of wisdom speaking there said, turn unto me, turn at my reproof. He said, turn you at my reproof, I will pour out my spirit. Which spirit? Somebody say, spirit of wisdom. I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. It's the one that reveals God's word to you. Glory to God. Deuteronomy 34 verse 9. You see, it's the will of God for every believer to function with the fullness of the spirit. God doesn't just want you to function with one out of seven, or two out of the seven spirit of God, or three. Mm-mm. Or not even six out of seven. Nothing short of the fullness. Are you getting me? It's the will of God for you to function with all the seven spirits of God. All those seven manifestations. Because there are some believers that function with only one out of seven. There are some other believers, at least they are better than the first one. Two out of the seven. Why some? Three out of seven. Some what? Four out of seven. Some what? Five. Some six. But what is the will of God? Seven out of seven. That's called the fullness of the spirit. Are you getting this? Is it possible? Yes. Why did Paul pray this prayer for the church at Ephesus? They were not, you see, you know, he was an apostle, so he could discern what was lacking in their faith. He saw that these people were deficient in the operation of the spirit of wisdom. That the spirit of wisdom is not at work in this church. That was why he prayed that God will give them. Are you getting the point? So believers or even churches can be deficient in one or more of this operation of the seven spirit of God. Deuteronomy 34 verse 9. The Bible says, and now Moses was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses, now Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands upon him. So the spirit of wisdom can be imparted. You can receive it by impartation from careers. Are you getting me? Moses' leadership was a success because of the operation of the spirit of wisdom. He knew that Joshua needed that dimension. So that was why he laid hands on Joshua and released that impartation. Glory to God. So it can be transferred. Then 1 Kings 3:28. It was the spirit of wisdom that made Solomon to stand out. He became the wisest king before Jesus, the richest in the Old Testament. Glory to God. He received that impartation of the spirit of wisdom in a prophetic dream through a divine encounter. But people did not know until they saw it manifest in his decision, in his judgment. after he judged rightly among those two women who were arguing over their children. One say the dead one is our own, the living child is my own. And then he told the servant, oh yeah, divide the child into two. The real mother started crying out of love and compassion. He said, don't kill the child, give it to the other woman if it is like that. The other woman said, no, kill the child though. Kill him. Since, you know, nobody, none of us will have it. Then Solomon said, he said, this is the real mother, give it to her. Somebody say wisdom. Wisdom is manifested in your decisions, your choices, your actions, your words, your thinking. Glory to God. Some Christians keep making wrong decisions, wrong choices. They lack prudence. Wisdom says, I dwell with prudence. Prudence talks of discretion, practical wisdom in handling the affairs of life. The Bible says, 1 Kings 3:28, and all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him. To what? Do judgment. What is wisdom? We've defined wisdom, Tyre, in that series, right? Comprehensive insight into mysteries and secrets. Wisdom is insight into reality. Wisdom is comprehensive insight into the plans, purposes, and will of God. What is wisdom? Knowing and doing the right thing at the right time, the right way. Are you getting me? Taking the right step, making the right choices, saying the right words. What is wisdom? Knowing and doing God's will per time. Praise God. If you know the right thing and you don't do it, you are not walking in wisdom. You are not functioning in wisdom. Okay? The next spirit of God is a spirit of understanding. Number 3. Go back to that Isaiah 11 verse 3. Say, the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Somebody say, the spirit of understanding. The spirit of understanding. What is understanding? Understanding. Give me Ephesians 3 verse 8. Understanding is the ability to see what God is saying. The ability to see what God is saying. The ability to see what God is saying. The ability to see revelation. What is understanding? Spiritual comprehension. Spiritual and mental comprehension. Understanding is spiritual, but it can also find expression through the mind, okay? It's both spiritual and mental comprehension of God's word, of spiritual realities, of mysteries, etc., okay? Ephesians 3, Paul said, unto me who am less than all the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Then semicolon. Look at verse 9. Look at where I'm going. And to make all men see what is the fellowship or communication of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. Look at this. Paul said, my mission is to make all men to see. That see there is talking of understanding. The Greek word is phortizo. Ephesians 1:17. Give me Ephesians 1:17. Ephesians 1:17. Glory to God. He said that God, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18. He said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That word enlightened is the same word for tizo. It means to shed rays of light. It means to illuminate. Are you getting me? Illumination. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The understanding there is a Greek word, dianoia. Dianoia means faculty of deep thought. Dianoia also means imagination. Am I communicating? It's not enough to read the Bible. Understandest thou what thou readest? Acts chapter 8 verse 30. You remember the utopian eunuch who was reading the scroll, the prophecy of Isaiah concerning the Messiah. He was reading Isaiah 53. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter and all of that. But he was just reading. He was not understanding. You know, it's one thing to read. It's another thing to comprehend, to understand, to grasp the meaning of what you are reading. Glory to God. God wants this operation of the Holy Spirit called the Spirit of Understanding to operate in all believers. Give me Acts chapter 8 verse 30. Understandest thou what thou readest? He said. Philip ran thither to him. You know, the Spirit said to Philip, join yourself to this chariot. And who was inside the chariot? The Ethiopian eunuch who was returning from Jerusalem. He went to worship. And then he was reading. He was not born again. He was not saved. But he had spiritual hunger to serve God. He was reading this. Give me New King James Version. That prophet Isaiah. He heard him reading prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? This dimension of the Spirit was lacking in the Ethiopian eunuch called the Spirit of Understanding. Next verse. And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? Oh, glory to God. He needed Philip to guide him. And Philip had the Spirit of Understanding. Are you getting the point? He needed a guide. And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. Verse 32. The place in which the scripture was reading is, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. That Isaiah 53. As a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Verse 33. And in his humiliation, his justice was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Verse 34. So the eunuch answered and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet Isaiah say this? Of himself or of some other man? Look at the reply of Philip, a man that had the Spirit of Understanding functioning in him. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. The reason why many Christians find it hard to preach the gospel and win souls is because they lack the operation of the Spirit of Understanding. Now, you, anytime you carry Bible, that is as if you took diazepam, volume 10. As if one demon normally knock your head. When you were watching movie, you didn't sleep. When you were watching football, Premier League, La Liga, they have returned, Champions League, you did not sleep. When you were watching Telemundo Z-War, you did not sleep. Big Brother Nanja, that very useless show, you watch, you did not sleep. You even did night vigil, you were watching. African, you didn't sleep, but you carry Bible and slept. Ah! It's a demonic attack. You need to deal with it. I impart upon you the Spirit of Understanding. I command your understanding to open, that you may understand scripture. Luke chapter 24 verse 45. Look at Jesus. The two disciples he met at the road to Emmaus. The Bible said, then opened he their understanding. He opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. That was after they broke bread, communion. The Bible said their eyes were open and they recognized Jesus. Then he vanished out of their sight. The Bible said he opened their understanding so that they will see him. May your eyes be open to see Jesus in scriptures. To see what God's word is saying. To see revelations. Are you getting me? You know, there's a way the Holy Spirit can open your understanding. You can even see your life in the Bible. You can see your life being played out, your destiny, in a Bible character. For some of you, it's Joseph. You are reading the story of Joseph in Genesis 39 down, and then you are seeing your life by revelation. So you now know what next step to take by reading the story of Joseph in order to get to the place of destiny. For some of you, your own destiny is encapsulated in the life of David. For some other people, who? Solomon. So that you become moneyous like Solomon. No moneyous. The meaning of monified. The wisdom for wealth. Are you getting me? May your eyes open. I say, may your eyes open. How did Jesus open their understanding? John clarified on this. Give me John 20:21. John showed us how he opened their understanding. Was it hammer or which implement did he use? How did he open? Let's see how he opened. Was it hammer he used? Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. 22. He said, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Hold it here. Now, this is different from the experience on the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost had not come. So is this why it's different from what happened in Acts chapter 2? That the Holy Ghost came and filled them and they were praying in other tongues. So, what is this one referring to? When he breathed on them, he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. This was how he opened their understanding. By breathing on them and releasing an impartation of the spirit of understanding. It was the spirit of understanding that Jesus imparted to them by breathing on them. That word breathing in the Greek means he blew on them. Are you getting me? So, and you can receive an impartation of this dimension. Glory to God. He opened their understanding by breathing on them and releasing the impartation of the spirit of understanding. Glory to God. Understanding is so important. Jesus talked about the parable of the sower. He says, some fell, the sower went forth to sow. Some fell by the wayside. He said, these are they that heard the word but did not understand. They heard but they did not understand. Many are the ears that hear, few are the ears that understand. Never think because you heard, you have understood. That's why I say you have to go back to some messages, including starting with this one. Glory to God. Some of you, the challenges you are going through is in a message somewhere in the Telegram channel you have refused to listen to. The answer to your problem is there. Are you getting the point? He said they heard the word but they did not understand. These are they that fell by the wayside. Immediately the birds of the air came and ate it. Who is that bird? Satan. So he shows you what Satan desires to steal from believers the most is the word of God. That anytime believers hear the word of God but don't understand it, it gives Satan the advantage. He comes and steals that word they didn't understand. So, what Satan steals from you is a revelation of what he dreads the most, which is the word of God. Because he knows that the word of God will produce everything else. How did God create the whole world? By his word. The earth and the fullness thereof are all creations bettered by the word. So, that's why Satan fears you hearing and understanding God's word. He fears, he dreads that more than anything else. So go beyond just hearing the word. Seek to understand the word. How? Through the operation of the spirit of understanding. Are you getting the point? Say with me, I receive grace to hear God's word, to study God's word, and to understand it. In the parable of the sower, is only the seed that fell on good ground. He said, these are they that heard the word and understood it. These are the only category that the word produced result for. Some brought forth 30-fold, some what? 60-fold, some what? 100-fold, according to their level of understanding. You see that? Even those that the word produced result for, the result was according to their level of understanding. So, in other words, all of us here can hear the same word, but we end up producing different levels of result. some will not even get any result at all. That's those that don't understand it. Then those that understand it, we produce results according to their level of understanding of the word. Are you getting me? So your level of understanding becomes a multiplying factor for results from God's word. No wonder Proverbs 4 verse 7 say, wisdom is a principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get what? Understanding. The word you hear but don't understand cannot profit you, cannot produce result for you. The next one, the spirit of counsel. Psalm 16 verse 7. Give me Psalm 16 verse 7, Amplified Version. The spirit of counsel. The next spirit of God is the spirit of counsel. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. How does God give us counsel? Through the operation of the spirit of counsel. Yes, my heart instruct me in the night seasons. In the night seasons of your life, when you look confused, when you are going through troubles, challenges, things appear to be going from bad to worse, from frying pan to fire, that is where the spirit of counsel will begin to give you advice, give you instructions that will what? Bail you out and bring you out of those night seasons. Are you getting my point? The spirit of counsel. Oh, if you learn to listen to this spirit of counsel, it will make you a success. Whether in business, it will teach you how to increase your profit. It will show you the strategy on how to get customers. The spirit of counsel will give you the advice you need for you to succeed in business, to make more sales. Some of us, we are trusting in our smartness too much. Why don't you learn to pray and listen to the spirit of counsel? The way you are doing your job, this way you are doing your business, this way you are doing your career is the reason why you are still stuck. Why don't you listen to him? He will show you a better way to do it. He is called the wonderful counselor. Give me Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. He says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Isaiah 9 verse 6. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called what? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Actually, in the Hebrew, there is no comma between wonderful and counselor. Remove this. It's actually Wonderful Counselor. Amplified puts it better. If you check the other words, they are dualized, both of them. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So the first one has to be Wonderful Counselor. Why? Because his counsels are full of wonders. You want to see the wonders of God? Listen and obey his counsel. Listen and heed his counsel. Are you getting me? The Holy Spirit knows where the money is, even in the midst of famine and economic recession. He knows what kind of business you should go into, and then you go blow. Are you getting me? The spirit of counsel is the extraordinary strategist. Can you shout amen? He's the extraordinary strategist. Hey! He will give you the strategy you need for supernatural success in your field, in your business, in your career, your job, in ministry. It will give you customized ideas, customized counsel, customized strategies to win in life. Are you getting me? Who gave Joshua that strategy on how to conquer Jericho? It was the spirit of counsel. He came as the captain of the Lord of hosts. He appeared to Joshua, and then he now gave Joshua the instruction, the counsel, the extraordinary strategy in order to conquer that impossible city called Jericho. Jericho had thick walls. Look at the gate. There is no military or technical way. In fact, no humanly possible way to conquer Jericho. That's where the spirit of counsel came and told Joshua what to do. He said, go round every day for 6 days. Don't say anything. Go round once. Then on the seventh day, go round seven times. Then at the seventh time, let the priest give a long blast. The people shout and the walls came down. Somebody say extraordinary strategist. When three nations ganged up against Judah, King Jehoshaphat of Judah, Ammon, the people of Ammon, the people of Moab, the people of Mount Seir, against that small nation, Jehoshaphat knows that it is game over except God intervened. He declared a fast, and then as they were praying, seeking God's face, the Bible said the spirit of prophecy came upon one of the priests, and then he now prophesied, and then through him the spirit of counsel told them what they should do. He said they should appoint 20 singers and put them in front. They shouldn't carry weapon, no. Their enemy, three nations, carry all manner of weapon. God said, don't carry weapon. He said, appoint singers. This is the spirit of counsel giving them an extraordinary strategy for victory in battle. He said, appoint 20 singers. And what should they do? They should stand in front. What should they do? Praise ye the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord, for his mercy. You see, his counsel may appear foolish. His counsels may not make sense. His strategy may not make sense. But if you obey and heed them, you will always win. The Bible says, as they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushment against the children of Ammon, against the children of Moab, against the children of Mount Seir. They were killing each other. Confusion broke out in the camp of the enemy. Somebody say, wonderful counselor. Start listening to him. He will show you how to make your marriage better. He will show you how to love your wife better, how to take care of your husband better. He will show you the key to academic excellence. He will show you how to make first class, how to make that 2-1. Are you getting me? The spirit of counsel. Psalm 32 verse 8. He is the extraordinary strategy. He is the mastermind. He is the mastermind behind great success stories in the kingdom. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way thou shouldest go. The spirit of counsel. He will instruct you. And when you obey his divine instruction, you get results. It produces miraculous results. He said, I will guide thee with my own eye. He said, don't be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding. Glory to God. Next, the spirit of might. The spirit of might. The spirit of might gives you superhuman strength or supernatural strength. The spirit of might, the operation of the spirit of might is seen in the impartation of superhuman or supernatural strength, also miracle working ability. Glory to God. There is one character in the Bible that functions so much with the spirit of might. His name is Samson. Samson. But before then, Ephesians 3:16. So we said the spirit of might imparts to you superhuman strength or supernatural strength. Okay? Ephesians 3:16. It says that he will grant you according to the riches of glory. Look at the prayer of Apostle Paul for the church at Ephesus. To be strengthened with might. Somebody say spirit of might. You know, sometimes you feel weak. You feel tired, you feel weak and all of that. What you need is the operation of the spirit of might at that point. When it comes, all your human weakness will give way. There will be supernatural infusion and impartation of supernatural strength and energy. Glory to God. So that you don't be a weakling. The Bible said they go from strength to strength. It's the one that renews your strength supernaturally. They that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. Are you getting me? And as a result, because they are now functioning with divine strength, they will mount up with wings as eagle. He empowers you to mount up with wings as eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Your fainting days are over. By this operation of the spirit of might, I say your fainting days are over. Your days of weakness are over. In the name of Jesus. Every human weakness is giving way. The strength of God is made perfect in your weakness. Colossians 1:11, the same thing. It says, strengthened with all might. Colossians 1:11, strengthened with all might, the spirit of might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Then look at the story of Judges 14:5 and 6. Story of Samson. You see the spirit of might imparting to him supernatural strength and miracle working ability. Look up. The spirit of the Lord and the spirit of might are the power dimensions of the seven spirits of God. They are the power dimensions. Okay? And that's what those seven horns represent. Horn is for power. Most of the others is talking of the seven eyes. Am I communicating? The revelatory dimension. Wisdom, counsel, understanding, knowledge. Are you getting the point? The power dimension of the Holy Spirit has comprised these two, the spirit of the Lord and the spirit of might. They give you miracle working ability. Miracle working ability. Judges 14 verse 5. Then Samson went down and his father and his mother to Timnah and came to the vineyard of Timnah and behold, a young lion, not an old lion and not a baby lion. Baby lion is called Coop, right? This one is not baby lion Coop. This is not old lion that doesn't have much strength. This is young lion that is stronger than all the other age groups of lion. He said, a young lion roared against him. What did he do? He ran away. Look at what he did, verse 6. And the spirit of the Lord came mightily. Somebody say mightily. It's the spirit of might. Came mighty. You see, oppositions normally steer the operation of the spirit of might. So you are not running away from opposition. You are not running away from confrontation. Rather, it steers this dimension. Anytime Samson is confronted, you see the spirit of might comes upon him. And he rent him. He tore the young lion. As strong as a young lion is, he tore it as he would a kid, baby goat. The way you would tear a baby goat. He tore the lion, rent as he would a kid. And he had nothing in his hand. That's with his bare hand. But he told not his father and his mother what he had done. He didn't even share testimony. He didn't even tell. You know, it's normal. Kabaya. Kai, 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 kai. Kai. Malagabagada, gabada. Next, give me Judges chapter. That 14 verse 19. 14, 19. Jump to 19. He said, the spirit of the Lord came upon him, Samson. He went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil and gave change of garment, dowry. When he needed to pay dowry, gave garment unto them which expounded the riddle. Okay, people, he needed to meet his promise. And his anger was kindled. He went to his father. Oh, now give me Judges 15, verse 4. And 5. Judges 15 verse 4 and 5. Samson went and caught 300 foxes. Not chicken. Not even dog. Foxes. And took firebrand and turned tail to tail. And put the firebrand and then he released them into the armies of the cornfield of the Philistine. Give me 16. Jump to 16. 16. Judges 15, 16. Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of an ass, I have slain a 1,000 men. Give me 14. 14. Verse 14. Verse 14. And when he came to Lehi, the Philistine shouted against him. Instead of him being afraid or intimidated by the enemies, look at what happened. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arm became as flax as with bonfire. These were new ropes they used to bound him on, and his bands loose from off his hands. The thing became like thread. Verse 15. And then he said, he found a new jawbone of an ass, a donkey, and he put forth his hand and took it, and with it he slew 1,000 men. What? With the jawbone of an ass, he summarized 1,000 Philistine soldiers. Only him. Imagine the days of Samson. Israel army didn't need to fight. They were on perpetual holiday. Samson was more than enough to undo the Philistine. Praise God. Somebody say the spirit of might. See the one that never ceases to amaze me. Judges 16:1. Go to verse 4. 3. 2, 3. Just go down, down, down. Verse 2. Verse 3. Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city. Not village, not town. He took the not your compound, not house. He took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulder. Somebody say the spirit of might. And carry them up to the top of a hill. Uphill task against gravity. That is before Hebron. Just imagine you were the Philistine enemies that want to arrest him. You saw this kind of thing, operation. You no go advise yourself, they go out. So I no be human being to arrest. You understand? He carried the gate of the city, climb hill. Glory to God. Next, the spirit of knowledge. The spirit of knowledge. The spirit of knowledge. Now, the Bible says in Christ are hid, Colossians 2 verse 3, in Christ are hid all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Okay? So, there is a dimension of the Holy Spirit called the spirit of knowledge. It gives you all the kinds of knowledge you will ever need. Okay? But I want to focus more on revelation knowledge. You know, there is sense knowledge. Then there is revelation knowledge. Glory to God. Glory to God. Ephesians 1:17 that we read earlier. I said that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. In the knowledge of Him. Okay? Next verse, 18. It says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened that ye may know. The know there is a kind of knowledge. In the Greek is called eido. E-I-D-O. E-I-D-O. Eido. Eido means awareness. This is a kind of knowledge that creates awareness. It gives you an awareness. Am I communicating? So that you may become aware, three things there. What is the hope of his calling? And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power. So, he's talking of awareness there. Then there is another kind of knowledge called revelation knowledge. The Greek word is ginosko. Give me Ephesians 3:19. Ephesians 3:19. Revelation knowledge in the Greek is called ginosko. This is a type of knowledge. You don't learn it from schools. You don't learn it from books. You don't learn it from science. It is imparted to you. It is given to you by the Holy Spirit. Am I communicating? Revelation knowledge is a type of knowledge that comes by the Spirit of knowledge. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit gives you revelation knowledge. He gives you revelation knowledge. Paul said, the gospel I'm preaching, no man taught me. I didn't learn it from Bible school. He said, I got it by revelation. I received it by revelation. Which kind of knowledge It's called revelation knowledge. Christ Jesus, by his spirit, revealed those things to Paul. Ephesians 3:19, he said, to know, the know there is ginosko, revelation knowledge, the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. You see another kind of knowledge there? The knowledge there is gnosis. Gnosis talks of scientific knowledge. Am I communicating? Scientific knowledge, human knowledge. Glory to God. He said, revelation knowledge is superior to that one. He said, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. In other words, you cannot know you can't have a revelation knowledge of the love of Christ by trying to use gnosis. It's more than gnosis. You can't use scientific knowledge to find out the love of Christ. It's past that one. Glory to God. Hosea 4 verse 6, God said, my people perish from lack of knowledge. Which kind of knowledge? Somebody say revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge of God's word, revelation knowledge of who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, what you can do through Christ. So you must become spiritually knowledgeable by revelation of your identity in Christ, your rights, your privileges, your ability in Christ. Glory to God. Philippians 3:10, Paul cried, he prayed, he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Which kind of knowledge is he talking about here? Somebody say revelation knowledge. This is how you get to know God, is by revelation knowledge. The spirit of knowledge is the one that reveals to you who God is. God can be known by revelation, not by head knowledge. By revelation knowledge, not by sense knowledge. You will not be able to find God through the senses. You can't find God in the lab or inside test tube. It has to be revelation knowledge. Are you getting me? It's the spirit of knowledge. Daniel 11:32, the people that do know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. Am I communicating? The spirit of knowledge reveals to you who God is, reveals to you the ways of God, it reveals to you the things of God, it reveals to you the word of God. Then the third kind of knowledge in the Greek is epignosis. The first one we say is idol knowledge. It talks of awareness. Ginosko is revelation knowledge. Then I even mentioned another one, gnosis, that's scientific knowledge, head knowledge, okay? Sense knowledge is epignosis, okay? Gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S. Gnosis is scientific or sense knowledge. But the highest kind of knowledge is what we call epignosis. You see it in Ephesians 1:17. Epignosis refers to what? Epignosis refers to exact knowledge, precise knowledge, full knowledge. Talks of precision. Yeah, you are not guessing, you are not experimenting. Okay, exact knowledge, precise knowledge, full knowledge. Ephesians 1:17 that we read earlier, it says, God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. In the epignosis, knowledge there is epignosis. In the knowledge of him, that's epignosis. Is that kind of knowledge that the knower and the object of knowledge, they have become one through fellowship and intimacy. That's, you have become one with what you know. Glory to God. Then, the last but not the least, seventh spirit of God. The seventh one is the spirit of the fear of the Lord. I round up with this. The spirit of what? The fear of the Lord. The spirit of the fear of the Lord refers to that dimension of the Holy Spirit that helps you to have deep reverence for God. Reverence, holy awe. Holy awe, reverence, respect and honor for God and the things of God. It imparts reverence, respect, honor for God and the things of God. This is a dimension of the Holy Spirit that helps you to depart from evil, that helps you to avoid sin. Give me Proverbs 16 verse 6. Very important dimensions. It helps you to have reverence for God and the things of God, respect for God and the things of God, honor for God and the things of God. Hallelujah. That reverential fear, it is a dimension that also helps you to worship God. Glory to God. Proverbs 16:6, by mercy and truth iniquity is purged. Listen, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. This is a dimension of the Spirit of God that helps you to depart from sin, that helps you to live a life of holiness and righteousness, is the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Glory to God. When you see believers engaging in evil, living sinful life, messing up, this is a dimension of the Holy Spirit that is lacking in their life. It's called the spirit of the fear of the Lord. It's deficient. Are you getting me? Why did Ananias and Sapphira died? Should I tell you? This dimension of the spirit of the fear of the Lord, they sinned against him. They lacked it in their life. They sold landed property. They joined the bank wagon. There was a mighty move of the spirit. People were sowing their land and bringing the money, drop it at apostles' feet, Peter, who was the leader of the church, and they too just joined. Now, they say, no, did anybody force them to give? No. But they came and lied. Peter said, is this all the money? He said, I swear, now all the money be that. And Ananias dropped dead. His wife, co-conspirator, came later, not knowing what happened to their husband. He asked, is this the amount you sold the land? I swear, now the amount be that. She too, she dropped dead. The spirit of the fear of the Lord. When you see believers lying, messing up, this is the dimension that is lacking in their lives. The spirit of the fear of the Lord is a spirit of holiness. As I study, I realize it's a spirit of holiness. Romans 1 verse 4. It says, Jesus was declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection according to the spirit of what? Holiness. That reference. Holy awe. Are you getting me? Helps you to live in righteousness and holiness. He helps you to obey God. He said, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from sin. Go back to that Proverbs 16 verse 6. Now look up. This dimension was lacking in Samson. Samson had the spirit of might, but he didn't have this spirit of the fear of the Lord. And how did he end? Delilah gave him his haircut. He became pepper grinder. The Philistine captured him. This dimension was lacking. He will go and be sleeping with prostitutes, jumping everywhere, messing up. When you see believers engaging in sexual immorality, fornication, adultery, all manner of things, and yet they will come to church and even preach and even sing, oh Jesus, I love you, just coming from boyfriend bed, they just fornicated, and then Sunday two of them will carry Bible and go to the same church. The spirit of the fear of the Lord is lacking. Are you seeing this? Glory to God. By it, you will depart from every form of sin. You will flee sexual lust. This was a dimension at work in Joseph. Joseph. Mrs. Potiphar offered herself free of charge. Genesis 39:7. He said, Joseph, see me, see shape, I know fine, come, nobody will know. You understand? She kept disturbing him. He didn't listen. Day after day. Then she now planned and sent all the servants on errand. It was just two of them at home. In anger, today you must sleep with me. You must lie with me. He said, I know agree. He said, you must do. I know agree. Joseph ran away. He so ran. You know, the Bible says, flee fornication. So in the process of doing scripture, he so fled that he left his clothes. And she now used it as evidence against him. She that wanted to rape him, she now turned the whole thing upside down. When Mr. Potiphar came, he said, you have brought this Hebrew to mock us. He won't rape me. In fact, as I shouted, he ran away. And then he forgot his clothes. Look at it. Evidence. Exhibit 1. But do you know Mr. Potiphar knew she was lying? He knew. He knew Joseph could not do such a thing. But he wanted to just please his wife for peace to reign. He just said, send him to special prison. The type that the kings, butler and baker, kings of Israel go. Not general prison. He knew she was lying. But the Lord was with him and still gave him favor because he was innocent. Are you listening? If he had slept with Potiphar's wife, his destiny would have ended. At best, he would have ended as what? Chief. They will sew cap uniform for him. He will have forfeited his destiny of being prime minister. I'm telling you, his destiny will have ended there. So you don't know what sexual immorality is costing you. You don't know, it's costing you your destiny. Do you know how many destinies have crashed on the altar of immorality? Samson is one of them. There are many others. This dimension of the spirit of the fear of the Lord was lacking in the Corinthian church, the church in Corinth. They were moving in the gift of the spirit, manifesting the spirit of might everywhere, power scattering everywhere, word of wisdom, prophecy, all of that. But this dimension of the spirit of the fear of the Lord was lacking in the church. They will come for Holy Communion. They will be dragging for food. One person will pack all the bread and be eating. The other will carry all the... They say, where the communion wine is? Hunger won't kill me. He's using it for dinner. Paul said, Paul shouted, don't you have houses where to eat? See, you are supposed to eat in your houses before you come for communion. You know, they lack the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Come and see sexual immorality in the Corinthian church. They were committing abominable sins. Not just fornication and adultery, even incest. That a man was sleeping with his stepmother. And yet they were coming to church to prophesy. Paul said, kick out that wicked person. Say, don't you know a little leaven, leavened the whole lump? Are you getting me? Make you no pollutuna. Somebody say the spirit of the fear of the Lord. It was lacking in the Corinthian church. No wonder there was so much strife in the church. So much division, strife. So much competition. Party spirit. Some say I'm of Paul, others say I'm of Apollos. Paul say, are you not carnal? When there is envy among you, when there is strife, all those things, are you not carnal? Even in church today, we see it. Because no be you, they say, make a lead intimacy today. You don't vex. Are you not carnal? Does it matter who stands on the stage? Now, GIC is coming. Some people have started lobbying. Make sure my picture they there. Say, I no go forgive MD if they no Puma. Are you not carnal? Does it matter whose picture is there? Don't be like the church, the Corinthian Christian. Are you getting me? Rise to your feet. Have you learned something? See, the will of God is for you to function with the fullness of the Spirit. It is by the spirit of the fear of the Lord that you walk in humility. He helps you to be humble. He helps you to be submissive. Ephesians 3:21 is the dimension of the Spirit that prevents pride, arrogance, disobedience, and rebellion. Am I communicating? He says, submitting yourselves. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 21. Submitting yourself one to another in the fear of the Lord. Submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. You see, that spirit of the fear of the Lord helps you to be submissive. Helps you to be humble. If you see people walking in pride, arrogance, all of that, this is the dimension that is lacking in their lives. Rebellion and all of that. They lack the operation of the spirit of the fear of the Lord. See, what I just taught you is worth more than $1 trillion. I'm telling you the truth. It is the will of God for you to operate with all these seven spirits of God. It's the will of God. It's the will of God. Not just 1/7. Not even 3/7. Not 4/7. All of them. I want you to pray a simple prayer. You are going to pray, Father, I receive grace to walk in the fullness of the Spirit. The fullness, the fullness. Go back to that Isaiah 11 verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of under, call them one by one. I receive grace to walk and function in the fullness of the Spirit. The seven spirits of God, let them begin to find expression in my life. I receive grace to function in the fullness of the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord, let it rest upon me. The Spirit of wisdom, let it function in my life. The Spirit of understanding, let it be imparted to me. The Spirit of counsel, let it counsel and direct me. Let it give me extraordinary strategy. The Spirit of knowledge, let it reveal to me the ways of God. Reveals to me the word of God. Let it grant me revelation knowledge. The Spirit of the fear of the Lord, let it help me to depart from evil. Let it help me to reference God deeply. To reference the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Let it help me live a life of holiness and righteousness. Kapaleto baraka palaka toko brakatai. Shalaya bagadaga brakatai. The grace to be filled with all the fullness of God. The grace to be filled. Liberose pelete. La prando boko sata. La pateke porakapata. Abarando boko soprakata. Ilaya gabalakidas. In the name of Jesus. In Ephesians 3 verse 19, you see the prayer of Paul there. He says, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. This is the will of God. He wants you to be filled with the fullness of the Spirit. I want you to lift up your voice one more time. Grace to walk in the fullness of God. The seven spirits of God. I receive grace. Lift up your voice. Shalabado silabalatai. Embreketeketeke balatai. Rondo boso brahadia. Elikobo rondo se brahete. Understanding is granted to me now. Wisdom is granted to me now. The spirit of might is imparted to me. Every weakness is giving way now. The spirit of revelation. Understanding, counsel and might. Spirit of the living God. Grace to know you more. To recognize you. To walk with you. Mando. Mando buse pila tiza. Radeko foregira. Reketeke to zebelete. Imreketekete. In the name of Jesus, you are going to pray, Father, grace for deeper levels of intimacy with the Holy Spirit. You are going to say, Holy Spirit, help me to know you more. I want to be more intimate with you. I want to hear your voice. I want to receive your counsel. I want to be closer to you. I want to love you more. I'm telling you, it's going to, as you pray this prayer from the depth of your heart, the Holy Spirit is going to embrace some of you. He's going to come and fill you afresh. The Holy Spirit, come and fill my life. Fill me until I overflow. The Bible says, be ye not drunk with wine, wherein is in excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be drunk with the Spirit. Be drunk until you are filled to overflow. You are going to say, Holy Spirit, help me to love you more, to know you more, to obey you more. Likota kabaya, to be intimate with you, to fellowship with you. The Bible said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship, the intimacy, the partnership of the Holy Ghost. Go ahead and talk to him. Laya barose belete, brakatose bilakapatai, manda barosa brakatai, leketeketeke brakete, likoborandeke brakete. Is the spirit of revelation. Is the spirit Ashila Bakatai. Likotobaya, spirit of the living God. Anoint my eyes with eye salves. Anoint my eyes. Lia bonde si borakatai. Grace for intimacy. Shalabababo rekoteketia. Branda bakusa batai. Eliko bakadia. Deeper dimensions of intimacy. Deeper dimension of intimacy. The Bible says, why Peter spake these words? The Holy Ghost fell. The Holy Ghost embraced them. Kabaranda basapalatai. Loboko seti la borakabadia, mangrando bose belegida prakatai, ilagabarando boko sofrekete, shalabababababarabaladai. I see the release of grace for intimacy with the Holy Ghost, grace for deeper levels of intimacy. Kaleya barose prekete. Grace for intimacy. I'm seeing at least 3 people. The power of God will come upon them now. Grace for intimacy with the Holy Ghost, deeper dimension. Likopate sidi katalate embrekete. The Holy Ghost is embracing 3 people and is releasing that grace for deeper level of fellowship. Likataka barakatai. Liaponde sepelete. In the name of Jesus, let that grace come upon them now. The Holy Ghost is anointing somebody's eyes. La bateke poteke pa, la bakata. I stretch forth my hands. Let that grace rest upon you now. Shalaya balagada kabrakatai, likoto sebeletia, manda potesida kambarodia. There are 3 people. I'm seeing them. An anointing is resting on them. I see something like oil. It's a grace for deeper level of intimacy. Bring them, come forward. Shataba. Silence everywhere. Liabos. I'm seeing that oil being poured upon those 3 people. Liko tesidi, mandeke po redia, leke tosedi, agabatiza. The Holy Ghost is embracing them. It's a new dimension
of fellowship. A new dimension. I see somebody's ear opening. The Holy Ghost is anointing somebody's eyes. He's imparting a seeing eye, a hearing ear, an understanding heart. Receive that grace now. Shalaya baladosia. Grace. Deeper level of intimacy. Shalabagadaya. Is remaining one. There are three people I saw. Holy Ghost. Mande kepo. Egeto sedi lakapatai. Ilagabatai. I see that oil coming upon the third person. Help that person behind. Landebo shilabatai. Grace for intimacy. The Holy Ghost is in this place, initiating people into deeper realms. Legedo silakapatai, manda borakida, latiso fekete. The spirit of revelation, the spirit of understanding, is being released. Manda barakata. I see somebody now. There is somebody. Stretch forth your hand. I see the release of the spirit of power. He's talking of the spirit of might and the spirit of the fear of the Lord. I see an anointing for miracles, signs and wonders. Likotoborakatea, including healings. Stretch forth your hands. Father, help them. Manda boshe tila kapatai. Receive, receive. Impartation of the spirit of power. Take the power. Take the power. Help them. Makata kabarakata. Please bring them forward. There are impartations of the spirit going on. Likoto barakatai. Distributions of the Holy Ghost. Leketeketekete. I say carry power. I say carry power. Carry power. Carry power. Kalabasata. Elikobakida. Carry power. The spirit of power. The spirit of might. The spirit of Ashila Batai. Of the Lord is being released. Shalabadosila kapata. Mande kepose pelete. They are distributions of the Holy Ghost. They are impartations of the Spirit. Don't just be a spectator. Open your heart and receive your own. Shalabare roboko seketea. Makabagadiki prakatai. Eleke pondeke prakatai. The fire of the Holy Ghost is burning in this place. Lia su de berete. Leprando boko sekida. They are distributions of the Spirit. They are impartations of the seven Spirit of God. God is opening up somebody's understanding. Put your hand on your head. An anointing is coming upon you. It's the impartation of the spirit of understanding. The spirit of wisdom. Take it now. Take it now. Take it now. God is opening your understanding to the word of God, to the scriptures, to the gospel. Liberose peletea. Lepora sataya. Shakabala kata kabrakata. Then open ye their understanding. That they might understand the scripture. Your eyes are anointed with eye salves. Your ears are anointed to hear. Your heart is anointed to understand. La bonte ke parakataya. From today, when you read the Bible, receive grace for understanding. Receive grace to access revelation. All eyes closed, all heads bow. Silence everywhere. The Holy Spirit is mighty in this place. If you know you are in this place, and you know
your ways are not right. You need to surrender your life to Jesus. I say all eyes close, all heads bow. And I don't want movement. You need to have respect for the spirit of the... We talked about the spirit of the fear of the Lord. If you want to come to Jesus, you want to surrender your life to Him, I want you to run forward, meet me here right now. 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 If you are in this place and you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you want to surrender your life to Him, I want you to meet me in front right now. And those of you following online, I'm going to pray for you. Is there anyone like that? Any voice telling you not to come is the voice of the devil. If you know if Jesus should come now, you are not sure of going to heaven with Him, I want you to rush forward now. You have opportunity now. Come and meet me in front now. The Holy Spirit is talking to somebody. He's talking. Don't struggle with Him. Don't struggle with His voice. Don't struggle with Him. Don't be waiting for the first to come. Be the first. Come and meet me in front now. Oh yes, you have the opportunity now. Thank you, Spirit of the Living God. If there's anybody online that is in such condition, I want you to say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I believe you died for my sins. On the third day, you were raised for my justification. I confess with my mouth that you are my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me in Jesus' name.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sazon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.